Our reading today is from Exodus chapter 27, and there will be a couple of videos to help you visualize what the scripture will be describing. I will try my best to speak in sync with the video. Okay. Exodus chapter 27. Build an altar of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It is to be square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. Make a horn at each of the 4 corners so that the horns and the altar are of one piece, and overlay the altar with bronze. Make all its utensils of bronze, its pots to remove the ashes, and its shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. Make a grating for it, a bronze network, and make a bronze ring at each of the 4 corners of the network. Put it under the ledge of the altar so that it is halfway up the altar. Make poles of acacia wood for the altar and overlay them with bronze. The poles are to be inserted into the rings so that they will be on 2 sides of the altar when it is carried. Make the altar hollow out of boards. It is to be made just as you were shown on the mountain. Next one. Careful. Make a courtyard for the tabernacle. The south side will be 100 cubits long, and is to have curtains of finely twisted linen, with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The north side shall also be 100 cubits long, and is to have curtains, with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The west end of the courtyard shall be 50 cubits wide and have curtains, with 10 posts and 10 bases. On the east end, toward the sunrise, the courtyard shall also be 50 cubits wide. Curtains 15 cubits long are to be on one side of the entrance, with 3 posts and 3 bases. And curtains 15 cubits long are to be on the other side, with 3 posts and 3 bases. For the entrance to the courtyard, provide a curtain 20 cubits long of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer, with 4 posts and 4 bases. All the posts around the courtyard are to have silver bands and hooks and bronze bases. The courtyard shall be 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide, with curtains of finely twisted linen 5 cubits high, and with bronze bases. All the other articles used in the service of the tabernacle, whatever their function, including all the 10 pegs for it and those for the courtyard, are to be of bronze. Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning. In the tent of meeting, outside the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant Law, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. This is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for the generations to come. I think that's it. This is the word of the Lord. Today, our preacher is none other than Pastor Avery, and his sermon title is Firekeeping.
Good morning, Lost Grace Church. It's wonderful to have technology, right? Animations, YouTube, and so that the passage can be brought to life as I was preparing for this passage, it's pretty dry. It's all the description, the instruction manual of how to build it. But thanks to animation, we could look at it. And also thanks to Herman for preparing this for us, as always. Today's sermon. I'm going to start with talking about bonfires. Who here loves bonfires? Yeah, bonfires. There's something about them. The way the warmth draws people together, the light flickers and dances in the dark, and time seems to slow down when friends gather around a bonfire. I can still remember how every time I go camping, the day would end with all of us gathered around a bonfire, the highlight of the day. As evening falls and we finish cleaning up after dinner, people naturally will gather around the bonfire. People will share stories of the day. We laugh over the day's adventures, and slowly, the fire settles down into a steady glow. There's always someone who picks up a guitar and strums along. And as the night cools down, everyone huddles, sits closer to the fire. Voices soften a bit, and stories start to get more personal. There are fewer words spoken, but we are all okay with the silences in between stories. We don't feel forced to speak. And later on, people would drift off to their tents, and the fire would settle lower and lower. And for the ones who stay behind, they need to keep the fire going. They don't start a new fire. They're not there to recreate what was there in the beginning. But they continue to tend to what is already there. They stir the coals, they feed the embers, they sustain the glow and the warmth, keeping it going through the night. And last weekend was Easter weekend, as the church gathered around a fire. Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection lit the fire. On Good Friday, we gathered at the cross where his love was revealed. Some of us shared our stories of struggle, doubt, and hope. We look up to the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb who is worthy. And on the third day, we came together again. We celebrated the resurrection. The curtain was torn. Christ opened a new and living way to draw near to God, giving us confidence to approach the most holy place. And in the afternoon, last Sunday, we gathered again as 7 people from the church publicly declared their faith through water and their testimonies. There was so much joy and celebration, so much of it that even Herman jumped in. Fell in, jumped in, same. As he tried to relive the joy of baptism. So for the church, Easter is such kind of a blazing fire, full of light, warmth, hope, excitement, and joy. But what now? After the cross and the empty tomb, what happened afterwards? As we go home into the week, we go back to the rhythm of ordinary life. We have errands to run. We have meetings to attend. We have diapers to change. We have meals to cook. We have assignments piling up again. That's when the work of fire keeping begins. Easter isn't just a single moment of celebration. We remind ourselves that the resurrection is not meant to be a flash fire and then forgotten. In the church calendar, this is the season of Eastertide. It goes on for 50 days, from Easter Sunday to Pentecost. And Eastertide is a season that we practice living in the light of the risen Christ. We tend the flame lit on Easter morning and let that fire shape the rest of our lives. And so today, as we continue to read Exodus, we find God's instructions for an altar, a courtyard, and oil for the lampstand. There are three spaces, three visible signs for us. And there are three practices that teach us how to tend the flame. We'll learn what it means to keep the fire going, not just in moments of celebration, but in the steady rhythms of our everyday life, and what this all means for discipleship. Let us pray. Faithful God, you led your people through the wilderness. As we come to your word today, light the fire on our altar. Fill our courtyard with your presence and keep our lampstand burning in the tent. May your spirit kindle understanding in us for your word. Form us to be your people, to be disciples of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. After the Sinai experience and the giving of the Ten Commandments, God commands his people to build a dwelling place, not only so that God would dwell among them, but so that they would learn the specific ways to dwell in God, to center their lives around God's presence. Now, God's presence was no longer an occasional visit to his people. It was to become a pattern of their lives, of their days. And this required structuring space, designating times, and gathering the people around it. And so, in chapters 25 to 31 of Exodus, God gave detailed instructions on how to build this dwelling place called the tabernacle. These chapters, they cover the plans of the Ark of the Covenant, the table, the golden lampstand, the structure of the tabernacle itself, then the altar, the courtyard, the lampstand, and the priestly garments, and also the ordination of the priests. They also include directions for ongoing worship practices, such as burning of incense, and how to maintain the lampstand. These chapters here show that God not only shows up in dramatic, big moments of deliverance, but God also gives his people day-to-day structures of worship, teaching them how to live with him as the center. And in today's passage, Exodus 27, we find God continuing to guide his people, not with theology, but with physical spaces, visible signs, something they could see, they could touch, they could engage in, and something that turns the invisible promises of God into visible signs, rhythms of daily life. See, this is not just about mentally keeping memories or inducing in them the occasional excitement. It was all about rhythms, spaces, tangible acts that will remind them that God is here and God is with us. And in Exodus 27, there are three elements of this. First, there is the bronze altar. This is the first thing you see when you enter the tabernacle's courtyard, it's where sacrifices are made, where worship begins. And then there's the courtyard itself. This is the shared space of worship, open to the people. They can come and bring their offerings. They bring what they have. And the third is the lampstand. It is inside the tent, in the holy place. It burns continually, fueled by the oil brought by the people. And today, we'll walk through these spaces one by one. So when we walk into the tabernacle courtyard, this is the first thing we see, the bronze altar. Throughout Genesis, we see the importance of altars. Abraham built altars wherever he went to mark places where he encountered God, to offer worship, and to declare trust in God's promises. Isaac and Jacob did the same. So building an altar is a way of saying, here, in this moment, in this place, I will meet God. In the same way, the bronze altar at the entrance of the tabernacle reminds Israel that worship begins with an encounter, with trust, and with offering. However, there's a difference between the altars in Genesis and this bronze altar. In Genesis, the altars are spontaneous. They are built in response to a moment of encounter, a fresh deliverance by God or his promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they built altars at specific locations, marking moments of God's faithfulness. But the bronze altar in Exodus, it is a permanent structure. It's not built by human initiative, but it is commanded by God. It is to be maintained through continual sacrifice, and it becomes the steady rhythm of worship for the people. So worship is not just a response to special moments. It becomes a way of life in the wilderness. And so it is with us today. There are moments of special encounter, like the Israelites experienced in the journey. And last weekend for us, it is a highlight for the church. But like Israel in the wilderness, our faith cannot be built on these rare, spontaneous occasions of joy or desperation. We need to establish steady structures of worship in the midst of our ordinary, unsettled lives. Our faith cannot be sustained by bursts of inspiration. It is formed, it is anchored by daily practices, daily offerings, by the continual awareness, by the conscious decisions to dwell with God. Even when life feels uncertain, even in unfruitful seasons, we don't wait until everything is in order to worship. We don't hold off until our faith is there, or our circumstances allow us to do it. We start right where we are, in joy, in grief, in excitement or in boredom, in certainty or in doubt. We worship not because everything is right or good, but because God is present. He wants to dwell with his people. I'll be honest. There are seasons when I also come to God feeling empty than full. Prayer may feel like reaching out into silence. It might feel like a drag. But even in those seasons, we are invited to keep coming to God. We are invited to keep offering when we don't feel it. And it's in coming to him. That's where he meets us. Because if we only come to the altar when we feel like it, when things are going well, that is closer to pagan worship. It's like we're coming to bargain with God. Instead, we come to the altar to meet him because he is there. He's inviting us to trust him, to draw near to him. So wherever we are in our journey, whatever wilderness you're going through, we bring our altar there. It is an invitation to offer ourselves in the middle of our journey, not at the end of the journey. And the second space in the passage, in detailed in verses 9 to 19, is the courtyard. The wide gathering space that surrounded the altar and the tent. It forms a visible boundary where God's people would draw near to his presence. In the wilderness, the courtyard is mentioned whenever God's people gathered for worship. It is where sacrifices are brought in, where offerings are given. People will come to the courtyard without entering the tent. So the courtyard is a visible, a shared space where communal worship happens and where communal worship is sustained. This courtyard is functional. It is a space for people to bring their offerings and give them to the priests to offer. But it is at the same time formative to the people because worship becomes public. It is a communal act, belonging, contributing, participating together. And it reminds us that faith is not just about personal devotion or personal piety. Faith is also about doing life together. We live out that faith in our everyday lives. But that is not enough. We are called to gather visibly and tangibly with other people, coming together in worship on Sundays. Forms us as a people. We are not isolated individuals. And when we show up on Sunday morning, we are contributing to a rhythm of worship. We are building this community together. When we pray together, when we sing aloud together, when we proclaim our faith together, when we receive God's word in Scripture together, when we confess our sins together, and when we receive communion together. And we participate in community life. And that is courtyard worship. It is corporate. It is public. It is visible to this community and the neighborhood. Our faith is proclaimed and shared. We strengthen one another. And then the third space in chapter 27, the lampstand. Or more specifically, here it talks about the oil needed to keep the lampstand burning. The lampstand itself, the intricate design of the branches and cups, they were detailed earlier in chapter 25. This lampstand is in the holy place, just outside the curtain that separates the most holy place and that area. But here, when we get to chapter 27, the focus is not on the design of the lampstand, but the oil. Without oil, the most beautiful lampstand would just be a decoration. It is the continual, faithful work of the people bringing the oil and the priests tending to the flame that keeps it burning night after night. The people in the scripture, the people were asked to bring oil of the best quality, extra virgin, I guess, to supply the lamps. Aaron and his priests were charged with tending it night after night, making sure it never goes out. It was ordinary, quiet work. There's no spectacle. It's just steady faithfulness. And this reminds us, worship is not just about grand moments, about exciting times. There is fire keeping. We need to sustain the flame with rhythms of devotion. It is about the patient, often unnoticed acts of obedience that keep our faith going. It's about showing up again and again, bringing what we have, and trusting God will keep the light shining. After the blaze burning bright on Easter, after the celebrations and joyful moments, we are to keep the fire going. It is often not glamorous. It goes unnoticed, but it honors God. And this, all of these, are discipleship. The steady work of tending to the fire is what discipleship is about. Discipleship is not built on bursts of enthusiasm. It's not just attending yet another Christian event. It is the daily, faithful offering of ourselves to God at the altar. It is the gathering with his people in the courtyard, and also the faithful tending of the fire of the lampstand. And this often happens in the unglamorous, the unnoticed, and the mundane work of fire keeping. Discipleship happens when we draw near to God at the altar. We begin each day with prayer, even when we don't feel like it. We confess our struggles. We confess our sins. We proclaim our hope. And we trust that he always welcomes us. Discipleship happens when we stir one another up in the courtyard, when we show up on Sundays to worship together, when we meet with our brothers and sisters during the week to pray for one another, to bring encouragement to the person who's tired, who's struggling. And when we celebrate milestones together, baptisms, mission trips, graduations, discipleship happens when we hold fast and tend to the lampstand, when we serve behind the scenes, when we help set up for worship service, when we reach out and mentor young believers among us, when we show hospitality and welcome newcomers to our community, and when we pray quietly for the church, for the neighborhood, and for our nation. These steady, ordinary acts are not small acts. They are the oil that keeps the light burning among us. And in Exodus chapter 25 to 31, God gave his people visible signs of his presence. He taught them how to tend the flame in the wilderness. And there are three visible spaces: the altar, the courtyard, and the lamp. And last week, we learned from Hebrews 10. There are three invitations for us. We draw near to God with confidence. We hold fast to the hope we profess. And we consider how to stir up one another towards love and good deeds. See, these three invitations can also be seen in the architecture of 27 of Exodus. At the altar, that's where we draw near. That's where we have the confidence. We bring our whole selves to the altar. In the courtyard, we see one another. We are in the presence of community. We worship together. We remind each other to keep going, to worship together. And at the lampstand, we hold fast to hope with consistency, with faithfulness, and we bring the oil to keep it going. Every prayer is a log placed on the fire. Every word of encouragement is another breath fanning the flame. And then our acts of faithfulness are the oil that keep the lampstand going through the night. So let's gather around the bonfire. Let's stir the coals. Let's fan the flame and keep the fire going in this season. Amen.
Please rise if you are able to and join me in affirming our faith in the words of the